First item on the agenda is the public comment period is, I have no request. Is there anyone in the audience who's here to speak on any item that's not on the agenda? Seeing none, then we turn to the consent calendar.
I do have one correction to item B6. The wording in the agenda indicated the approval of funding agreement for the purchase of 35 compressed natural gas vehicles. What it should have said was the approval for the funding agreement for the purchase of 4 compressed natural gas vehicles, bringing the total to 35. So with that correction, you can take action.
Okay. We need a motion for approval of the consent calendar then.
I'll move the consent calendar approved.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Next is item B7.
Good morning, Chairman Simon, members of the board. My name is Stan Risen. I'm with the Chief Executive Office, and with me today is Larry Haw, our Auditor Controller. We're here to request today your approval of an amendment to the Master Property Tax Agreement. Upon annexation to a legally formed incorporated city, the county shares property tax revenues with those cities to provide critical public services. 60% of the discretionary revenue that we spend as a county goes to funding services that benefit people living within a city. And so it's important that as property becomes annexed, that the county retain a portion of property tax revenue to help provide those services. At the same time, some services, such as public safety and others, shift to the city. So it's important that they also have a portion of discretionary revenue to fund their services, and property tax is one of the single largest revenue sources. The sharing of these property taxes is governed by what we call a master property tax agreement. It's the agreement that will dictate how that revenue is shared unless we go negotiate a separate agreement, which we have done on occasions such as with the Pellendale corridor with the city of Modesto. The current master property tax agreement was entered into in February of 1996. The apparent intent of that agreement, as we went back and reviewed it, was that all future growth in assessed value and in property taxes would be shared, with 70% going to the county and 30% going to the incorporated city. A strict interpretation of the agreement, however, resulted in the auditor controller using an allocation methodology where the cities ended up receiving less than the 30% that appeared to be the intent of the agreement. To give you an example, we looked at several illustrations. In the case of annexation in Turlock, the city of Turlock was receiving over 29% of the growth in assessed value. When we looked at an illustration of annexation in Newman, they were receiving less than 1% of the growth in assessed value. In September 2005, city representatives, I think largely as a result of Newman, who had brought in a consultant to study proposed annexation, asked to meet with county staff so they could better understand the allocation methodology. As those meetings progressed, it became apparent that the actual allocation methodology that was being used was resulting in Newman receiving less than 1%, while the city of Turlock, in that particular annexation that we were looking at, was receiving over 29%. We committed to the cities that we needed to understand what was going on and that we were committed to doing the right thing. And so together we went through the original agenda items. We brought in people who were part of the negotiations in 1996. We reviewed very carefully the language in the amendment, and as a result of that, we came to the conclusion collectively, city and the county representatives, that what was happening was not really reflective of what the intent of the original agreement was, And so together we drafted some proposed amendment language, which is before you today. At this point, I'd like to turn it over to Larry Ha, our auditor controller, who would like to explain a little bit about how we went about coming up with the corrected allocations.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Based on the proposed amendment language, my staff prepared corrected allocations back to the inception of the original agreement in 1996. Since the 1996 agreement was for sharing the increase in property taxes for annexed property, the effect of the agreement was not appreciable in those early years. There are three representatives, one each from the city of Modesto, Turlock, Patterson, met with my staff to review the methodology in making the corrections for the prior years, in understanding the agreement, and to review the methodology for the new agreement to be sure that it was consistent with the intent. The corrected allocations do go back to the inception of the original agreement. These corrected allocations also included interest for the funds that should have been allocated. Of the $862,245 due to the cities under the corrected allocation, $500,460 will come from the county and $361,785 from the Educational Revenue Augmentation Fund. Part of the corrected allocation is from the Educational Revenue Augmentation Fund because the county was legally required to contribute a percentage of the property taxes into this fund to fund the schools. The next slide, the chart that is before you, shows the city, the county portion of the corrected allocation, the amount which will be taken from the Educational Revenue Augmentation Fund, and some of the differences that you see there on the far right-hand side, the differences between the cities, it's really based on when the annexation took place. Some of the amounts that are due may vary a little bit between cities because of the timing of the annexation under the old agreements. As I mentioned previously, in the first few years of the 1996 agreement, there was very little, if anything, dues participating cities. As you can see, this amount has grown to $388,977 in the 2004-05 fiscal year. And that would continue to increase as cities and the county continue to expand. Payments for the corrected allocations will be subject to each city signing the amendment to the agreement. The board has previously set aside $480,000 to allow for these payments to be made, requesting today that a total of $500,460 or an increase of $20,460 be approved from appropriation from contingencies. Turn it back to Stan for closing comments.
Our recommendations are today that you authorize the Chief Executive Officer to sign the amendment to the Master Property Tax Agreement with each of the county's nine cities, that you approve the use of $500,460 from appropriations for contingencies. This will require a four-fifths vote, and that you authorize the Auditor Controller to make payment for the corrected property tax allocations upon the signing of the respective agreements to the amendment. I'd like to acknowledge the work of Larry and his office, specifically Ray Rasmussen and Todd Filgus, who spent an enormous amount of hours trying to go all the way back to 1996 to figure out these corrected allocations. Also to Marie Lorenzi from Turlock, Greg Baird from the city of Modesto, and Margaret Souza from the city of Patterson, who spent a lot of time actually pre-auditing this so that we wouldn't have any dispute over the numbers after the fact. We had them audited actually before we brought them to you today. And I'd also like to thank Deirdre McGrath from the County Council who drafted the amendment language. Yesterday I saw Joe Donabed, city manager for the city of Pewson, and he said, Stan, I want to send you an email this afternoon, and I'm going to request that you read it into the record, so I'd like to read you that email at this time. It says, Stan, I understand that the new city-county tax-sharing agreement is on the board agenda tomorrow for consideration. On behalf of the city of Pewson, please extend our thanks and appreciation to the board for the cooperative effort of the county, and especially yourself and Rick Robinson for the many hours of work you put into developing the agreement in conjunction with the cities, and for agreeing to reimburse the cities for past calculations. This is a splendid example of local governments working together to provide good government to our constituents. We look forward to continued cooperative efforts. Joseph E. Donabed, City Manager, City of Houston. That concludes our presentation. We'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, thank you, Stan. Mr. Robinson.
Yes, I did also want to point out the work that Stan has done in coordinating this entire effort. It's gone on for months and months. I concur with Mr. Donabed's comments, and I believe that all of the city managers that have been involved and their staffs that have been involved in this process for the many months that it's gone on would also agree. Auditor Controller Haw and his staff have just done an outstanding job in computing a very complex formula and applying new sets of rules to the allocation of property taxes. It really does. This process really has reflected, I think, the very best in local government cooperation and collaboration. The county was not required to take the steps, but it was the right thing to do. Because clearly the intent was different than the actual wording. The auditor controller did implement the agreement based on the language of the agreement, but it simply wasn't reflective of the board's intent at the time the property tax sharing agreements were entered into.
Okay, thank you. Any board member have any questions? If not, then we have three recommendations to approve. We need a motion.
I'll also move.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So ordered.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You, Larry, you too.
Thank you.
Next item is B8.
Good morning, Chairman Simon and members of the board. I'm Ken Patterson. I'm the director of the Stanislaus County Community Services Agency. We want to thank you for just taking a moment to share with us an accomplishment that the Community Services Agency, and in particular the Children and Family Services Division of our agency, received this year. We have received notice of reaccreditation by the council on accreditation, and if I could just tell you about the council for a moment on the next slide here. It's an internationally recognized and accrediting body for human service organizations. Hospitals, educational programs have been accredited for a long time. It's somewhat of a new movement in social services. It's been more grasped, I think, by private social service organizations, but public social service agencies are coming aboard with recognizing the need to be accredited. And Stanislaus County and Napa County are the only accredited public child welfare programs in California. We've been continuously accredited since 1989, but we don't take it for granted that we're going to pass the test each time. And so we were particularly gratified to have it happen now. To tell you just a little bit about the process, it's a very much an in-depth examination of our compliance with best practices in public child welfare. And some of the areas that it focuses in are, what are we doing in the area of continuous quality improvement? How are we using data and giving that data back to our workforce to develop plans about improving quality? The second area that it talks about is, what are you doing to keep a vital and well-trained workforce? And we're pleased that we passed this part of the test very well and are grateful for the partnership that we have with CSU Stanislaus and training programs. In the final area, it really looks at quality case management. So once you open a family and their children for services, what's the level of engagement and documentation and the quality of the services that you put into that interaction with the family? It's a pretty intense process. It takes about a year from the time you initiate your self-study till the time the review team comes and spends the better part of a week looking at you, looking at your records, talking to your community partners. And I just need to take a moment and recognize Juan Ramirez here for an outstanding job in coordinating the accreditation process this time. So what does all this mean for our community? First of all, I think it means that we've achieved some level of excellence in delivery of our child welfare services. Secondly, that the services that we provide really will go to benefit individuals and the children and their families. And I think it communicates to the community that we take this responsibility for child safety very seriously. Seriously enough that we've sought out what the best practices and best standards are and been willing to put ourselves under the Council on Accreditation microscope to assure that we're achieving that. I think there's one other short area that in the area of potential litigation that it always is a good thing to have held out that what you do in an organization is to the highest known standards and that you've had an outside entity affirm that. So finally, I just want to thank you as the Board of Supervisors for creating the type of support and environment that we can seek this accreditation. And then I really want to thank the managers and supervisors, social workers of the Child and Family Services Division to their commitment for excellence, because you can have all the standards, you can create the budget, but unless the individual staff members are committed to excellence, you can still fall short of the goal. So we're very happy about this. Are there any questions you might have?
Any questions?
Okay, then I'll just introduce Jan Viss, the assistant director, who will receive the accreditation plaque. Thank you.
You have to turn it on down there, I think. Okay. On behalf of the board, we didn't produce this, but certainly the accreditation committee produced this beautiful plaque. And I can safely say that on behalf of the board, we're extremely proud of the fact that you have accomplished the accreditation. It's a credit to everyone in the department, and you, Ken. So you can safely say from us to you that we are extremely proud of the fact you did this. And we can also say that you seem to rise to greater heights every time you come before the board in terms of the accomplishments of your department. I'm always either giving plaques or commendations, and you and your department grasp for higher and higher goals, and that's something that the community can be extremely proud of. So for you, this is to be placed, I guess, in your building somewhere. And would you like to say a few words?
Thank you. It really is a real privilege and honor to get this award. Staff have worked very hard. But it doesn't, I just want to share too that part of it is because we have such strong partnerships in our community. The review team shared that with us when they came out. And it seems to be a recurring theme whenever we have reviews that we have partnerships just not with county departments but with community-based organizations. And we truly have a shared sense of responsibility for child safety in this community, which is something we can really be grateful and proud of. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next item is B9, approval of the annual. Do we have a motion to make on this at all?
Approval?
Then I would like someone to move for approval.
Also move.
Second.
I have a motion second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any board member wish to say anything else? Okay. I guess I said it all for you. Thank you. B9, approval of the annual report of the community-wide technology strategy. Keith Boggs.
Good morning, Chairman Simon, members of the board. Keith Boggs, Deputy Executive Officer, Economic Development. Joining me this morning is Maurice Turner, Assistant Management Consultant, also Economic Development. We're here to share the annual update of the community-wide technology strategy known as Connecting Stanislaus. This is an information-only item. The Connecting Stanislaus technology strategy, as most of you know, was inspired by one of the visioning statements adopted by all cities in the county in the spring of 2000 through the city's county visioning process. Maurice, next slide, please. From that early inspiration, a Connecting Stanislaus steering committee was established and initial technology needs assessment completed, which included participation from leaders representing 7 community sectors. Next slide. Six technology initiatives, next slide, were identified through this process, and I'd like to speak very briefly this morning on each of these strategies. Strategy number one, to expand targeted technology training, T3. The targeted technology training program has provided basic computer training to over 5,000 residents of Stanislaus County to date, including the unemployed and underemployed, small business owners and entrepreneurs, English as second language learners, and the senior community who often struggle with technology application. Initiative number two, develop and maintain a community web-based information portal. The website connectingstanislaus.com officially launched in October 2002. Since that time, visitation rates continue to rise from 60,000 unique visits in 2003, over 80,000 visits in 2004, approximately 100,000 visits in 2005, and portal traffic is on pace to reach over 150,000 unique visitors in calendar year 2006. At present, the site experiences well over 13,000 unique visits per month. The site boasts both English and Spanish navigation options, next slide, GIS mapping, calendars, and links to all sectors of the community. The most unique aspect of the community portal might well be the completely volunteer nature of the content development process. Members from several community sectors, including business, technology, healthcare, agriculture, and community-based organizations, maintain the site ongoing in what amounts to a virtual community. Next slide. Strategy number three, increase community access to technology via learning labs. Since program inception, 10 learning labs have been dedicated. Several of these labs are in rural areas, and several are open daily to the public. Sites include Grayson Community Center, El Concilio, the Red Shield Center, downtown Modesto, and the YMCA Turtleneck Satellite, to mention a few. Initiative number four, develop a forum for public sector leaders. The city and county representatives have been meeting several times annually since early 2002 as the e-government strategies task force. These individuals discussed regional technology issues, including portal development, GIS, and technology information sharing. The e-government task force played a significant role in the establishment and early development of the community portal initiative. Number five, establish a regional approach to geographic information systems, or GIS. The cities, the county, and regional agencies, including the Alliance and STANCOG, are working cooperatively as the GIS Alliance. This group has developed several public data sets, including layers for land inventory identification and programming for the Children and Families First Commission, currently working with County Public Works Department to update aerial photography for GIS applications countywide. And finally, number six, the promotion of technology best practices in government and business. The annual technology showcase Connecting Stanislaus has been renamed this year to Connect 2006. In addition, the Alliance has taken on the business sponsorship role, and we're pretty excited about that. It's evident that a real synergy within the tech sector is starting to develop. And at this point, I'd like to introduce my colleague, Maurice Turner, to discuss the partnerships that have been cultivated through the annual technology showcase to preview the sixth annual Connect 2006 coming up on Tuesday, April 25 at the Modesto Center Plaza. Maurice has worked very hard on this project.
Thank you, Keith. As Keith mentioned, there have been tremendous partnerships grown throughout the years, and especially this year. To call it only a regional technology fair may be shortchanging it. We do have local businesses like the Modesto Meat and Ditto's providing sponsorship, and over 50 vendors coming actually from all around the country. We have industry leaders like Dell and Microsoft coming down to Stanislaus County, which really does say a lot for what we're trying to do and how much this technology fair has grown. And speaking of growth, we're hoping that people will come and attend and especially take advantage of the free workshops that are going to be available. They're going to be available at all levels, beginning with word processing and even going into advanced voice over IP solutions and some really nut and bolt applications and information like identity theft, which is something that all businesses and all citizens can learn a lot from. So on April 25th, we're looking forward to the 5,000 plus attendees descending on Modesto Center Plaza and enjoying all that we have to offer. And for more information, they can visit connect06.biz.
Thank you. We would like to personally invite each of you to the technology kickoff breakfast. Are you going to be there? You've just made a public record of that.
I just told you I'd be there.
Wonderful.
Didn't you invite me for breakfast at 8 o'clock?
7 o'clock. I think I've harped you about 9 times over. I'm redundant, if nothing else. Hoping that all of you can make that breakfast on the 25th at 7 a.m. This concludes our presentation. If you have any questions, we'll make every attempt to answer them.
Okay, thank you, Keith. Any questions from board members? If not, we need a motion to approve.
Also moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So ordered.
Thank you.
Wow, we're down to correspondence at 9:25.
This board has received from the Animal Advisory Board a report regarding the recommendations from the rescue committees.
Okay. Accept this report.
This board has received a certificate of authorized officer and form 10Q from Covanta Energy Corporation.
We refer this to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received a letter from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services regarding the National Incident Management System, known as NIMS, regarding the process in the state of California.
We refer to the Chief Executive Office of Emergency Services.
This board has received a copy of the Ahwahnee Water Principles and Fact Sheets from the Local Government Commission.
We refer to the Department of Planning and Community Development, Environmental Resources, and Public Works.
This board has received a notice from the Office of Facilities Management regarding the State of California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation considering a leasing a building to be constructed in the area of the Morgan Road Industrial Park in Ceres.
Refer to the Chief Executive. Refer to the Fish and Wildlife Committee and Department of Parks and Rec.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of these claims and refer them to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Any board member have any report? Supervisor O'Brien?
Yeah, I just wanted to brief the board on an issue that I've followed over the year and a half that I've been here so far. And we just completed another cycle of property tax payments, and I made several trips down to the tax collector office over the past couple days of the payment cycle. And I was very impressed with what I saw. Credit is due to Mr. Ford for some of the changes that have happened down there recently. What I saw this time, this cycle, is that he flexed the number of windows that were open to accept property tax payments, so that line went through faster. I heard of a story of a husband dropping off his wife at the front door of the county center while he went to find a place to park, and his wife was going to go up to the second floor and pay the property taxes. Well, the husband parked, came up to the second floor, and he couldn't find his wife because the line had moved so quickly. What used to take them a long time to pay their property taxes were done very quickly. There's some cross-training going on in the department, which I think is just great. Every employee's had the opportunity to cross-train, which means as they have busy cycles in certain aspects of the office, employees are able to move in and to provide a better level of customer service. So credit is due to you, Mr. Ford. I want to thank you very much for improving the level of customer service in your department.
Thank you. Supervisor Grover?
The Governor San Joaquin Valley Partnership Committee met again last week, Thursday and Friday. And we're in the process now. The first couple of meetings, we evaluated collectively we felt the problems and opportunities that we're facing the valley were. And now we're holding an all-day public hearing in each county, starting in the south and working north. We were in Kings County and Fresno County. We'll be in Merced and Madera next month. And then in June 8th, we'll be here in Stanislaus County and the 9th in San Joaquin. And there'll be an opportunity for all of us to address this group. And so our office will coordinate that, but I just wanted to be aware that if there are things that you want to make sure that the governor and that group know, then we'll be working on that together. Thank you.
Supervisor DeMartini.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Yesterday, I went up in the county helicopter that's operated by the Sheriff's Department to survey the San Joaquin River. Yeah, we flew from San Joaquin County line to in the Merced County, and the flooding is far worse than what I had realized before I went up. There's several levees that are breached in considerable amount of farmland is being flooded, and homes threatened all along the river. Anyway, the there are roads closed, and if this water doesn't go down soon, and it doesn't stop raining, we're really in for trouble coming down the line. I was really surprised to see how bad it was. The levees along the river are completely saturated. They're seeping underneath the levees in places, and I saw orchards and vineyards underwater, and houses and parks and roads closed. So it's really quite a disaster for this county.
Okay, thank you. I have no more requests under that section, so we'll turn to the Chief Executive Officer.
Yes, I do have one matter too late for the agenda. Supervisor DeMartini led into it very effectively. It is a request for the board proclamation of the existence of a local emergency. The first action required would be the board to approve the need to take action on a matter that arose too late for posting on the agenda regarding the proclamation of the existence of a local emergency.
And Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I've looked into this matter, and the proclamation was not adopted by the governor until yesterday, so the matter was clearly too late for the agenda, and there definitely is a need for the board to take action on this proclamation.
Okay, thank you. Any other items under your...
No, I will respond to this. I would, before you do that, just make an announcement to the public that we do have a Board of Supervisors retreat scheduled Thursday, April 13th, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Samaritan Village to review the county's progress in addressing board priorities, goals, and performance measures.
Okay, then we need two motions.
Yes.
First motion is to accept a matter too late for the agenda. Can we have that motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion to second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Now we need a motion on the item itself, the declaration.
Also moved.
We have a second?
Second.
Motion to second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. We have a closed session item.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. One item on closed session. A public employee appointment, and the position is the agricultural commissioner. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.5E, we do anticipate an announcement.
The board meeting then is adjourned.